John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. God's word for our admonition this morning. Please be seated. Once a year, I get to give a more unusual sermon because it's combining thoughts for a Sunday morning message based on God's word along with an annual conference report. But obviously, this past week has been a week that our nation has never experienced before in its history. Our 2016 annual conference moderator was a pastor by the name of Andy Murray from Huntington, County, Pennsylvania. His home church is called the Stone Church of the Brethren, and he challenged the delegates at the 230th recorded annual Church of the Brethren conference in Greensboro, North Carolina, to carry the light. And one of the verses that he chose for us at the conference were these verses that we've just read together. I believe that when God's people have tried to get their minds wrapped around God's light, God's glory, God's greatness, they are drawn again and again to this passage. In the first verse of our text, we learn that Jesus existed even before time was. Jesus was a separate entity from God, yet Jesus was one in essence with God. And in just seven words, the second verse of John chapter 1 summarizes all the wonderful faith affirmations that we find in John 1:1. Verses 3 to 5 indicate Jesus was an active participant in the work of creation. And we have to always remember that Jesus still is the source of both human life as well as eternal life. We're all well aware that we receive physical life when we're born, but yet we receive spiritual life when we are born again from above. Jesus Christ is the source of light. It is one thing to exist, but it is quite another thing to know how to live and to know the true purpose in living. And when we receive Jesus Christ into our life, we can receive a light to guide us above the dark pathways of this world. When Teresa and I woke up on Friday morning, we couldn't believe what we were hearing on the radio. Five police officers assassinated, I like to use that word, in Dallas, Texas. Certainly, that is a dark time. You know, when Jesus Christ was born, he came to be a light in this sin-darkened world. And I know many of us have had our televisions turned on, or we've listened to the radio about not just the police assassinations in Dallas last week, but also about the African-American who was shot by a police officer in Louisiana and another one in Minnesota. But I have never heard yet a television or a radio commentator discuss a very simple word, and that word is sin. Nobody has talked about sin being a cause for the increased violence that we see in our country. And according to the Bible, you know what sin is? Sin is missing the mark that God has for every person. You know, when we bear witness to the truth about ourselves and about our world, we as Christians try to describe what it means to live honestly and not falsely, hopefully and not in despair, faithfully and not superficially. John chapter 1 verse 5 in various translations has some different wording. I like this a little better. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. And in just that one verse, I think we can find a universe of meaning. We have to recognize there is darkness in this world. There is darkness in the United States of America. Christians must quit pretending that there is not darkness. Once an American novelist by the name of William Styron wrote a novel called The Confessions of Nat Turner. Now you have to understand, this was a chronicle of the racial struggle in America. And in this book, Styron tried to imagine the psychological motivations that drove Nat Turner, who, by the way, was a minister, a black minister, to lead a bloody slave revolt in Virginia all the way back in 1831. But later in his life, the novelist Styron wrote a memoir called Darkness Visible, which turned out to be sort of an autobiography of his own struggle with depression. And so in the novelist Styron's life, we pose and we see the truth that there is darkness. Sometimes the darkness is out there, but sometimes the darkness is in here as well. You know, sometimes you and I, we project darkness onto others. We talk about that group or that race or that political party or that nation. And sometimes we forget that there can be darkness within us. And that is why we can make the connection, although sometimes we're tempted to deny that there is darkness within us. You know, the power of William Styron's novels across his lifetime was his willingness to see the darkness in this world, but also the darkness within himself. Every one of us within these walls this morning, we are sinners that can only be saved by the grace of God. Sometimes as a pastor, I get tired of people saying, so-and-so did this to me, so-and-so said this about me, so-and-so offended me. Sometimes I get a little bit weary about that, because I don't think there's anybody who walked in this door, or whatever door you used, or are going to walk out of this door this morning, and you can say that you are perfect and you are without sin. Sometimes I'm tempted to put on our marquee out there where we're promoting Vacation Bible School the words, "Come to a hospital for sinners." This is a hospital. This is a place where we can become spiritually cured. More than one person has noted in the Bible that they often feel alone. The psalmist asked God in Psalm 44:24, "Why do you hide your face?" Remember, not only Elijah in a cave, but even Jesus on a cross asked, "God, why have you forsaken me?" And I believe more than one person has noted that our culture seems to want to live not only in the denial of death, although we can see death all around us, but so many people want to live in denial about the darkness of sin. Maybe some of you have seen some orbital photos of the Earth that are taken of the United States at night. And in these orbital photos, you can see a lot of light in the eastern parts of the United States, east of the Mississippi, and then you see a lot of light along the Pacific West Coast. But across the midsection of the United States at night, there are many patches of darkness. And maybe this could serve as an analogy for our spiritual lives. Sometimes we're in denial about the darkness that is visible, the fightings within, the fears without, the demons that can arrive at any time to tempt us, and the mental scourges that dehumanize so many individuals. Yet the Bible says, the light shines in the darkness, and we can have spiritual rebirth when we turn off all those artificial lights that distract us from entering the darkness of confessing and repenting of our sins, so that we can comprehend and consistently demonstrate the true light of Jesus Christ. Yes, the light does shine in the darkness. And maybe that's a truth that's fairly evident to many people if they are observant, if they are attentive. Yes, there is darkness, but the Bible says the darkness can be overcome by the light. Our scripture seems to take one more step. It seems to take a step of faith. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overcome it. And the darkness will never overcome it because the light of Jesus Christ is stronger than any of the darkness of Satan. As Christians, let's not be too quiet. Let's not ignore the darkness around us. It is real. But we also have to focus more attention to the light of Jesus Christ, because the light of Jesus Christ is present through His written word in our witness. Our annual conference moderator, Brother Murray, wrote these thoughts concerning the conference theme, Carry the Light. He wrote, "The next time you see a leaf flutter in a gust of air, or a blade of grass bend to the breeze, consider that it's being touched by a power that begins some 93 million miles away. Actually, every living movement of our earth begins with strength driven by the light of the sun. And some of that power, from a solar panel, for example, it's very immediate. It only takes 8 minutes for that sunlight to come from the sun and hit that solar panel. But some of the power we use, for example, the power of coal, has been stored in the ground for thousands of years. But it's all from the same source, the light of the sun. And as Christians, we have to confess that there is one source for our spiritual being. There is one source for the meaning that powers our mental as well as our emotional existence. There is one source for life. And the Gospel of John opens with this magnificent tribute to the relationship between the Word, life, and light. They were all present in the beginning, and all that came to focus in Jesus of Nazareth. They were revealed in a person of history that we remember regularly in the act of communion. A person who we confess lives with us in the Holy Spirit and whose body is alive in our worshiping community of faith. This is a confession that is at once intimate and shared, personal and universal, present and eternal. It is a testimony that's closer than our own name and beyond our most faithful and imaginative confirmation. A testimony that we know Him who was in the beginning. It is a testimony that light that is as immediate as the Holy Spirit and as ancient as the text of the Old Testament powers us. We claim a light that comes to us across a space of 2,000 years and across the space from the beginning of creation, a light that warms us, heals us, comforts us, nourishes us, guides us, and grows us. The words of Andy Murray, our annual conference moderator. There were other annual conference speakers that shared variations of the conference theme, Carry the Light, and they referred to a variety of scriptures. Kirk Borgman of the North Manchester, Indiana Church of the Brethren spoke from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 on the theme, Carry the Light in Your Heart, Claim It. The title of his message was, Light Up the Darkness. Dennis Webb, an African-American minister from Naperville, Illinois, Church of the Brethren, spoke from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 to 14 on the theme, Carry the Light in Your Church. And the title of his message was, Every Night Needs the Light, Let's Be That Light. Don Atonai Wilhelm of the Richmond, Indiana Church of the Brethren spoke from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 to 12 on the theme, Carry the Light in Your Community, Spread It. And the title of her message was, Trailing Wisps of Glory. And then on Sunday morning during conference, Eric Brubaker from the Effort of Pennsylvania and the Middle Creek Church of the Brethren spoke from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 on the theme, Carry the Light in Your World, Be It. And he entitled his message, A City on a Hill. A special feature of this year's annual conference in Greensboro, North Carolina, was a Jubilee afternoon on Friday, July the 1st. Now, there were a lot of options that afternoon. You could attend a volunteer service project. You could go to a museum. You could go eat ice cream at an ice cream social. You could attend various concerts, or you could attend various workshops. And your pastor decided to attend pastoral continuing education events. I didn't eat any ice cream. No ice cream for me. Annual conference this year was filled with opportunities for worship, for fellowship, hearing reports, the continuing education events for pastors, insight sessions, as well as conducting the business of the denomination. And I also was able to interact with some of the Hispanic ministries at annual conference as a part of my responsibilities on our Mid-Atlantic District Church Extension and Evangelism team. As in most annual conferences, there was an exhibit hall. And some of the exhibits that I visited included Brethren Benefit Trust, the Brethren Encyclopedia, Brethren Mutual Aid Agency, Brethren Press, Brethren Revival Fellowship, Church of the Brethren, Inc., the Council of District Executives, the Fellowship of Brethren Genealogists, Heifer International, and Serve. We received some significant reports from the Church of the Brethren Incorporated, On Earth Peace, Brethren Benefit Trust, and the Program and Arrangements Committee. As you know, at church conferences, there's always the old business and the new business. And old business items that were considered and accepted included the following. Number one, interdenominational cooperation for the 21st century, interim report from a study committee, and they'll issue another report next year at the Grand Rapids Conference. Two, an interim report from the review and evaluation committee that is reviewing the organizational structures of the denomination. And three, an interim report from the vitality and viability committee that's evaluating the present district structure in the Church of the Brethren. By the way, our newest district in the Church of the Brethren is now the District of Puerto Rico. They have their own district executive and organization there. New business items considered queries or questions that came from congregations and districts. The first item that we considered and we spent the most time on was this one. How should ministers and congregations relate to the June 2015 Supreme Court decision in regards to marriage? The delegates voted to refer this to two groups within the Church of the Brethren, the denominational leadership team and the Council of District Executives, for them to bring a recommendation to the 2017 conference. Another question was the nature of On Earth Peace reportability and accountability to annual conference. And this was combined with another question that went like, let me find the right paper here, the continued viability of On Earth Peace as a separate and distinct agency of the Church of the Brethren. And both of these queries or questions were referred to the Review and Evaluation Committee for their recommendations, again to come to 2017 in Grand Rapids. A continuation of the study concerning our Christian responsibility to care for God's creation was referred to a new study committee in consultation with the Brethren Benefit Trust. And then another query called Living Together as Christ Calls Us To with Respect and Love. This came, I believe, from the Pacific Southwest District. This was referred to the Mission and Ministry Board for recommendations in 2017. I appreciated again the opportunity of attending annual conference on your behalf and representing you at annual conference. And the annual conference of the Church of the Brethren has a mission statement that I'd like to share with you. It exists to unite, strengthen, and equip the Church of the Brethren to follow Jesus. I might just mention all of the songs that we have sung today, as well as this final song, were all in our annual conference song booklet. So we get to share with them as we are singing today. And I invite you to stand at this time as you're able to number 446. We have a story to tell to the nations. Number 446.